All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. We're diving into a landmark case today.
We're going to be talking about Raymond Motor Transportation Incorporated versus Rice from way back in 1978.
This one is really important for understanding, I'd say, the limits of state power when it comes to regulating, you know, the national economy.
Exactly. Raymond, it's a classic dormant commerce clause case.
So for our listeners who maybe haven't had their coffee yet, the Dormant Commerce Clause. Remind us what that is all about.
Sure. So it's this idea that the Constitution, even though it doesn't say it explicitly, it prevents states from, like, putting up roadblocks to interstate trade.
Yeah, it's like this implied restriction on states, even when Congress hasn't specifically legislated on a particular issue.
Right, and the Supreme Court, they step in sometimes to referee this balance between state power and that free flow of goods and services across state lines.
And that's really what Raymond is all about, right? The court sort of drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah, and what makes this case so interesting is it's about something as mundane as how long a truck can be.
Truck length. It doesn't sound too exciting on the surface, does it? But trust me, folks, this one gets juicy.
Oh, yeah. It gets into, like, how far a state can go using safety as a reason to regulate before they're actually just kind of messing with interstate commerce.
Exactly. And that tension, right, between a state's right to protect its citizens, what we call the police power, and the national interest in a seamless, open economy.
It's a constant balancing act.
So let's set the scene here. What was going on in Wisconsin that led to this whole legal showdown?
So picture this. Wisconsin, they had a law. It said, okay, no trucks longer than 55 feet on our highways.
That's 55 feet. That's the magic number.
Yeah. But, and this is important, there were exceptions. Certain local industries, they got a pass, could use longer trucks within the state.
Ah, okay. So already we see a little bit of a potential double standard, yeah. Right? Different rules for different players.
Yeah. And that becomes a key issue later on. So into this mix, you have our plaintiffs, Raymond Motor Transportation and Consolidated Freightways.
Interstate trucking companies, right. Big players moving freight all over the country.
Exactly. And they were using these things called doubles. You've probably seen them on the highway, those tractor trailers pulling two shorter trailers.
Yeah, yeah. Those super long ones.
Right. Usually totaling like 65 feet in length. Way more efficient for long haul trucking.
Makes sense. Move more goods in one trip, less fuel. Lower costs.
Right. But when these companies applied for permits to use their doubles on, you know, major Wisconsin highways like I-90 and I-94, these are crucial routes connecting Illinois and Minnesota.
Essential arteries of commerce.
They got denied. Wisconsin said, nope, your trucks are too long. Got to stick to our 55-foot limit.
So what did the trucking companies do? I mean, they weren't just going to roll over, right?
No, they sued. They argued that this law, it wasn't just an inconvenience. It was a real blow to their business.
And it went beyond just dollars and cents, didn't it? They made a compelling case about the practical impact.
Oh, yeah. They presented evidence, which the Supreme Court later called uncontradicted, about how this law really messed with their interstate operations.
Like, what kind of evidence are we talking about here?
Well, think about it. They had to take these long detours around Wisconsin.
Burning extra fuel, wasting time and money.
Totally. Their delivery schedules got all screwed up. And then they had to, like, physically break apart their 65-foot doubles at the Wisconsin border.
Oh, wow. Just to reconfigure them into shorter combinations to comply with the law. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a logistical nightmare, a huge drain on efficiency.
So they argued this law is hurting our business. It's messing with the flow of goods across the country. It's just bad policy.
Exactly. But they didn't stop there. They also brought up the issue of safety.
Oh, interesting. You'd think the state would be arguing the safety angle, not the trucking companies.
Right. But they actually presented studies showing that these 65-foot doubles, they were just as safe and sometimes even safer than the shorter single trailer trucks.
Especially on those modern, well-maintained interstates.
Right. They had the data to back it up.
So you've got the trucking companies saying this law is inefficient, it's a hassle, and it's not even making the roads any safer.
You would think that would be a slam dunk case, right?
Yeah. But here's the twist. The district court initially sided with Wisconsin.
It shows how much weight courts often give to states, especially when they say, look, this is about safety. We're just trying to protect people.
So the district court basically said, we get it. It's a pain for these trucking companies. But Wisconsin has a right to regulate for safety, and we're not going to second guess them.
Yeah, they deferred to the state's judgment.
But that's not where the story ends, is it?
Nope. This is where the Supreme Court steps in.
So what was the big constitutional question that the Supreme Court had to wrestle with.
The main issue was, did Wisconsin's truck length law violate the Commerce Clause? Did it place an undue burden on interstate commerce?
The lower court had basically said, no, Wisconsin's safety rationale is good enough.
Right. But the Supreme Court, they took a different view.
So what were the key problems that the Supreme Court saw with Wisconsin's argument?
They found a couple of major flaws. First, remember all that evidence the trucking companies presented about safety? Well, Wisconsin didn't really have much to counter it.
They couldn't prove that their 55-foot limit actually made a significant difference in terms of safety.
Yeah, especially compared to the trucking company's data, you know, showing that the 65-foot doubles were just as safe, if not safer.
The court even said that Wisconsin's arguments about safety were, quote, speculative at best. Ouch.
Yeah, not exactly a ringing endorsement.
So, lack of evidence, that's strike one against Wisconsin. What was the second issue the court had?
The second problem was, you guessed it, those exceptions for local businesses.
Ah, yes, the good old double standard.
The court was like, if you're so worried about safety, then why are you letting some trucks be longer than 55 feet?
It seemed like Wisconsin was trying to have their cake and eat it, too.
Exactly. The court saw this as evidence that maybe safety wasn't the real motive.
Maybe it was more about protecting local businesses from competition.
Yeah, giving them an advantage over those out-of-state trucking companies.
Sounds a lot like protectionism hiding behind a safety excuse.
That's exactly what the court suspected. And to analyze this, they used a specific legal test called the Pike balancing test.
Pike, like the fish.
Not quite. It comes from a previous Supreme Court case called Pike versus Bruce Church, and it's basically a three-step process for figuring out if a state law is messing with interstate commerce too much.
Okay, so like a checklist for the court to use in these kinds of cases, what are the three steps?
First, does the state law impose a substantial burden on interstate commerce?
Like a real significant obstacle.
Exactly. Second, what's the state's claimed benefit from the law? Like, how important is the local interest they're trying to protect?
And is there solid evidence that the law actually achieves that benefit?
Right. And the third step is, could the state achieve that same goal in a way that doesn't burden interstate commerce so much?
So, like, is there a less disruptive way to do it?
Exactly. So let's see how the court applied this Pike test to Wisconsin's truck length law.
Okay, first step. Substantial burden on commerce. Did the court find that Wisconsin's law met that threshold?
Oh, absolutely. They said all those detours, delays, the whole rigmarole of breaking apart and reassembling trucks at the border, that was definitely a substantial burden on how goods were moving across state lines.
It was like Wisconsin was creating a bottleneck in the flow of interstate commerce.
Exactly. Okay, second step. Wisconsin's claimed benefit. They said it was safety, right?
But as we discussed, they didn't have much evidence to back that up.
Right. The court found that Wisconsin hadn't really shown that their 55-foot limit was actually making the roads much safer, especially when you consider the evidence that the trucking companies presented about the safety of those 65-foot doubles.
So their safety claim was pretty shaky.
Yeah. And then we get to the third step, the less discriminatory alternatives. This is where those exceptions for local businesses really came back to bite Wisconsin.
Because it made the whole safety argument seem kind of disingenuous, right?
Totally. The court said, if you're really all about safety, then why are you allowing longer trucks for some companies but not others?
It was a clear sign of favoritism towards local interests.
Yeah, the court saw it as evidence that Wisconsin was trying to protect its own businesses at the expense of interstate commerce.
So the court wasn't buying Wisconsin's safety excuse.
Nope. Now, there's one more piece to this puzzle. Justice Blackmun's concurring opinion.
Ah, yes. Another justice weighing in. Did his opinion change anything?
Not really. He actually reinforced the court's main points.
So he was on board with striking down Wisconsin's law.
Yeah, he basically said, look, states have the power to regulate for safety, but they can't just make things up.
They gotta have the evidence to prove that their laws are actually achieving what they claim to achieve.
Exactly. He pointed to an earlier case, Bibb versus Navajo Freight Lines, another case about state trucking regulations, to emphasize that this wasn't a new idea.
That the court has been consistent in requiring states to back up their safety claims with real evidence.
Right. And he made it clear that the court wasn't trying to tell states how to do their job, but they were intervening because it looked like Wisconsin was using safety as a cover for something else entirely.
Namely, protectionism.
Exactly. So what was the Supreme Court's final verdict in Raymond?
They reversed the lower court's decision and said, Wisconsin, your truck length law is unconstitutional. It's gotta go.
And that decision sent a clear message to all states. You can't just throw up roadblocks to interstate commerce without a really good reason.
And vague claims about safety, especially when you're playing favorites with local businesses, that's not going to cut it.
Nope. The court made it clear that you need real, solid evidence to justify burdening interstate commerce.
But Raymond's a big deal, huh?
Huge. It's a cornerstone of dormant commerce clause law. Courts still cite it all the time when they're deciding these kinds of cases.
It's a reminder that states can't just do whatever they want. The Constitution limits their power, especially when it comes to interfering with interstate commerce.
So for our listeners out there, especially you law students wrestling with these constitutional issues, what are the key takeaways from Raymond?
Yeah, what should we be paying attention to?
Well, first, the Pike balancing test. It's not just some abstract legal theory.
It's a real tool that courts use to make decisions.
Raymond shows exactly how that test works in practice.
So pay attention to that balancing test, folks.
Second, evidence matters. A lot. States can't just say, trust us, this law is good for safety.
They've got to have the data to prove it.
And if you're challenging a state law, you better have your own evidence ready to go.
So facts are king in these commerce clause cases.
Totally. Third takeaway, watch out for those exceptions that favor local businesses.
Because they can be a big red flag that something fishy is going on.
Yeah, they can blow the state's whole argument out of the water.
So be skeptical. Look for those loopholes and inconsistencies.
And finally, remember that even laws about public safety have to pass the Commerce Clause test.
The court said it loud and clear in Raymond. If the burden on interstate commerce is too big compared to the benefit the law provides, then that law is out of here.
It's all about balance.
So the big lesson from Raymond is that states need to justify their actions. They have to be accountable.
And the courts are there to make sure they don't overstep their bounds.
So next time you see a state law that affects business or trade, don't just take it at face value.
Ask the tough questions. Is there real evidence to support this? Are there any sneaky exceptions that hint at a hidden agenda?
Because understanding this tension between state power and the free flow of commerce, that's essential for understanding how our country works.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
See you.